You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, Catholic things. We talk about that for 50 minutes every afternoon. But looking at the Oscars, the weirdness there. I don't watch award shows, but obviously it's what everybody's talking about. The very strange turn of reversal of fortune between La La Land and Moonlight, how all of that went down. And perhaps even more telling about the interesting dynamics we have culturally now. We'll get into that. Also, in the age of leaking, where apparently people can leak through encryption of apps, where those to whom the information is being leaked never even know who the originator is. Very interesting dynamics in the world of reporting. So we're going to talk about that. And speaking of protection of the First Amendment and freedom of the press, former President Bush 43 saying that the media is indispensable to democracy. We'll talk about that. And a whole lot of stuff going on about immigration with some conversations that I've had over the weekend on Facebook in light of perhaps mass deportations, or at least certainly a ratcheted up experience of deportation, and some of those even in our local diocese I've heard about. So lots to talk about there, lots of questions we have to ask, and got to look at justice. What is justice, right? More to come. We'll be back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, culture, current events, Catholic things. We talk about it 50 minutes every afternoon. Follow me on Facebook. Lots of conversation over there. Sometimes interesting, sometimes contentious, but always engaging. So encourage you to be a part of that. I did not watch the Oscars last night, nor have I seen either of these movies that kind of almost won the best picture of the year, La La Land, which I hear is really good. And honestly, I didn't even know about Moonlight. I got to be quite frank. I don't follow pop culture in that respect. A lot of culture role stuff, but in the sense of entertainment culture, I'm bad. I'm really, really bad about that. So I didn't know anything about this. But as it seems, this motion picture depicting both LGBTQ issues and the African-American cast. And so very interesting that you have this kind of as this sort of, oh, we made a mistake and hand it to you kind of thing. And, you know, so as I say, art imitating life, even amid confusion, is that, you know, maybe there's something about this experience that, even though it was a mistake, I have to believe it was a mistake. A part of me thinks maybe that was planned, because how interesting is that? That there's something to be said for switching gears and handing over something to the little guys. And to those overlooked, to those without real opportunity, that's what I think we're dealing with here. And will we do this in real life? I hope. But I know this, you know, I mean, I've been down this road so much. I've talked about this so frequently. As Catholics, we have to understand that everything is hinged on human dignity. You can't say that everything is hinged on law, or that would be disingenuous, because there are those who say, well, Leo, it's all about the law. It's all about, don't you know there are laws and countries and states can make laws. Yeah, but you don't like the abortion law, so why don't you stand on that? Well, you know, abortion is legal. I've never heard that. I've never heard that from a Catholic who is pro-life. I've never heard that. But I've heard Catholic pro-life people say, well, we can't be concerned about this immigration thing because, come on, it's just a law. We can't have the borders wide open. And I don't think anyone, well, let's put it this way. I'm not asking for that. I am asking for a path toward legal immigration, especially for those with families, especially for those who've been here long enough to actually have gainful employment and they're actually doing something productive and not taking jobs away from Americans, but actually doing things that many of us don't want to do or have never done. So in an interesting conversation, there was a suggestion that maybe immigrants leave more here than they take. And there's this, well, you don't leave your doors unlocked and you don't let people walk through your door. And so I said, well, you know, what if an immigrant broke into your house and started cleaning your toilets, making your bed, cooking you food, mowing your grass, gardening, planted a garden, and now you're self-sustaining because you actually have, you're growing your own food, and it's all because of immigrant labor from this guy and or family, whatever, who broke into your house, and this is what they bring. That's a better analogy. That's a much better analogy than this breaking in and taking concept, because that's what we've got, and we don't see that. We don't see that the vast amount of immigrant labor, it really is in areas that many Americans choose not to do. And it may be the only thing that someone who doesn't speak the language well can get initially, but it first off, it doesn't mean everybody is illegal who's doing that, but they may be benefiting the American economy in ways that we don't even understand, at least not on the surface. When we think we need to deport these criminals, my goodness, they're criminals. Sure, they're criminals because they broke the law simply by being here. But is it fair? Is it fair to restrict their opportunities, especially when they found their way into something gainful? Right? They're not here raping and pillaging. They're not here trying to work our system. They can't get on welfare. They're not citizens. They can't find a way to collect a government check. They don't have that opportunity. They're working jobs. They're working labor jobs generally in those areas that I just mentioned. They're working in hospitality, they're house cleaning, they're working in farm labor, they're cultivating and picking fruit, they're doing landscaping work and or construction, right? And what if the alien broke in and built a new addition onto your house, right? I mean, that's what we got to think about. I don't think that we see this picture clearly enough. We just assume these are people taken away from America. They're just taken away from America. Well, first, as Catholics, like it or not, you are a globalist. You're a globalist. At least that's what your faith dictates. Now, you may not act like that. And you may think that you can be a nationalist and it's all about your country first, but it's not. Because as Catholics, we are a part of a human family. We're a part of a Catholic family that is much, much bigger than any country. And it's one of the reasons why I think it's so, so amazing for anyone to experience a world youth day and to see this dynamic in action, to see that throng of people. And I've been there with 1.5 million, almost, depending on estimates, maybe 2 million. And there have been World Youth Days where there have been 4 million people. And they're from every nationality, every walk of life, across the globe, gathered in one place for one reason, and that's to celebrate Mass together as a human family. When you see something like that, and you know just exactly how big your faith really is, how big the church really is, how big the world really is, it just changes your perspective in ways that I can't even begin to explain. You know, travel, anytime you go to a foreign country or you go to a new culture, you're going to learn something from that. It's going to be rewarding. It's going to be fulfilling in ways that you can't even articulate, certainly initially, and you're going to unpack that for a while, and you're going to kind of, you know, maybe even meditate into some of those experiences that you've had to open them up even more. At least that's kind of how I experience travel. But when it's pilgrimage, when it's something that is as focused as a World Youth Day, and something that is so completely unmistakably universal, which of course is what our name means, you will be changed by that. Now, you know, you don't have to wait for that. You don't have to say, well, maybe if I could do that, Leo, maybe if I had the privileges that you've had, then maybe I could see what you see. But you don't have to wait for that, because all you have to do is know that your faith is big, your church is big, the world is big, and it's all bigger than any kind of artificial boundary. And yeah, look, the church doesn't say don't protect your citizens, don't protect your borders. But it does say, while doing all the subsidiarity stuff, while focusing on the local, and believe me, a country is local, pretty darn local when you see how big the whole globe is, United States is local. So yes, focus all you want on the local. But in direct correlation, understand that we've got a global solidarity that we have got to be connected to. And if we compromise that in any way, it's compromising what we believe as Catholics. That's tough. I get it. It's tough, especially for conservatives. I think it's tougher for conservatives. I may be wrong. I think liberals have it tough when it comes to the abortion and pro-life stuff and the universality of the completeness and wholeness of life from womb to tomb. But I think conservatives might have it even tougher because we, especially now in this climate, where we are with a supposed conservative in the White House and a lot of policy that's looking like things that we've never seen, or at least haven't seen in a long, long time, or maybe never, I don't know, that appeals to the conservative base, that is in direct opposition to what we believe as Catholics, that's got to be tough. I realize that. It's got to be tough. But at the same time, if as Catholics, we don't see that we need to be informed by our faith first and foremost, even if you end up like me, God forbid, right? But you end up like me having to clearly see that you just don't fit. This doesn't fit. I can't wear a label. I cannot be a part of a political party. It is not going to work for me. I have to take a step outside of that. And if that's what it takes for you to finally go, okay, my faith is this important. My faith is this essential. My faith is this primary in all that I do. Then great. And I, you know, the other thing is, God willing, there's credibility to that, right? God willing, others see that and say, wow, there's something about that. Something about that individual that I can respect. Something about that attitude that I can respect. Hopefully others will see that. But we got to realize our faith comes first. People, human dignity always comes first. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back in just a moment.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Brown, Almost Hour, culture, current events, Catholic things. We talk about those 50 minutes every afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Well, it's an interesting world. We heard in this press conference the president say, the leaks are real, but the news is fake. Now, that one's hard to kind of wrap your head around, right? How does that work? So the leaks are real, but the news is fake? What does that mean? Well, as it turns out, there are these encryption apps which will allow a message to be sent without ever knowing who the sender is. So literally, someone could send a totally anonymous text across this app platform to a reporter, and the reporter would not know where it came from. Now, I do believe that it would be irresponsible to publish that without knowing more about it. And I've compared this to the Associated Press wire. Just because something came across the AP wire back in the day when that's what we did, the printer was like, you know, spitting out the wire from the Associated Press stories, did not mean it was gospel. We generally, especially if it was like, wow, can we check some sources on this? Can we see if anybody else is reporting this? Is there any way to find out what may be happening? And, you know, and sometimes back in the day, you just had to call around. Like, you had to kind of figure out, is this, can we call a news director somewhere? Do they have any more information on this? Can we possibly get to the bottom of this? Or can call the actual source and try to figure that one out? So if somebody wanted to do someone in, I suppose there's ample opportunity. But at the same time, I would hope, and my guess is, total speculation, but my guess is that responsible journalists would do that. They're not just going to take this as an opportunity to get stories. Now, they may have an informant. They may have an informant. They very well, because if you're an investigative journalist, you generally do. You have someone on the inside. At which point you could say, look, you can text me this information if you're more comfortable with that, because this app will prevent you from ever being traced. There's no way. We're completely 100% encrypted. Nobody knows where it's coming from, nor will they. That's why this is designed. So please install this app if you don't have it, and here's how you contact me with your information. No one will ever know it's you. That could happen, because that way you're protecting your sources, you're doing due diligence as an investigative reporter, and you have things pretty much summed up when it comes to any possible tracing, any possible connection back to that individual. That to me is ethical, would be completely ethical from a journalistic standpoint to say, we have managed to protect our sources as effectively as we possibly can, while at the same time, trusting that we're getting accurate information. Now, if it's just coming to you, right? If it's just showing up without any substantiation, you're gonna have to do some digging into that. So I think, to give President Trump the benefit of the doubt, that may be what he's saying. The leaks are true, but the news is fake. That's what he was saying. The news is fake. Well, the news is not, because the news is reporting on what they got. The source may be fake. The source might be out there trying to derail someone. That's completely possible. But does that mean the news is fake? No. The news is reporting on what they have. Now, granted, they may not have substantiated their stories as well as they should have. And I think that's nothing new. We've always had potential challenges with substantiation. But to say that all media is the enemy of the people, that's just kind of crazy. Bush 43 came out talking about the media and it's being very essential to help hold everyone accountable, especially politicians, and to see that there's something not only appreciated, but essential. And I think that when we hear a former president who had, believe me, his fair share of criticism in the media, that's good to hear. It's good to hear that he's at least willing to make that statement. We hope that our current president begins to somehow see the value of that potential source of mirror, right? I mean, of reflection, to kind of look at that and go, okay, what is this reflecting about me, and what perhaps should I learn from this? And oddly enough, it was Bush 43 in a very similar echo of John F. Kennedy talking about Russian counterparts not having that opportunity, not having the invaluable source of looking at this mirror of the media that is willing to be a little bit adversarial, right? I mean, you need that. You need that adversary. You need somebody who, because they're an adversary, they're showing you what your faults are. You got to have that. We all need that. But I mean, my goodness, someone in leadership has to have that. So it's interesting to hear him at least advocate for the press and to realize that in this day and age, it's more important than ever to realize the validity and the importance of a free press. I posted over the weekend this video of Edward R. Murrow. Didn't get a lot of play, but I think it was inspired by what George Clooney was talking about when it comes to Murrow's focus on McCarthyism. And I've heard Murrow, even by conservative standards, praised by being a fair journalist. And what I think is interesting, if you know anything about him, he was so completely dead set on disproving the McCarthyism of communists under every rock that he kind of made it his personal mission to unearth the realities and the truths and to show that there was something really, really wrong with what McCarthy was trying to do. And, you know, now we have almost it's a new McCarthyism or a reverse McCarthyism, however you want to look at it. It's not necessarily looking for communists, but almost to the sense of, if you disagree with this individual who is our president, then there's something wrong with you. There's something deficient, because we don't do that in America. I've even heard things like that. We just don't, you're not American if you, that's what you do, which, how quickly we forget, how quickly. It wasn't just 8 years ago when there was significant criticism of President Obama. It was not even 8 weeks ago when there was significant criticism of President Obama. So I think we got to realize just exactly what we're talking about here. But at the same time, if you're going to uphold this journalistic integrity of the 50s, then you got to realize what that journalistic integrity was all about. It was looking at challenges and abuses of power, even then, to say, wait a minute, McCarthy, Joseph McCarthy, might be stepping outside of his bounds. Because it's one thing to kind of have an understanding of who your enemy is, but then to assume that everybody within your own borders are enemies, that's a little bit out of control. And we're pushing this out into some kind of terrible potential consequence of labeling everyone this way. So then I also posted, if you're an REM fan, as I am, and I don't listen to enough of them, my goodness, but every time I hear REM, I'm like, oh, wow, why don't I listen to more? Because there was a time when that's all I did in college. I was a huge REM fan, and for years after that even, and just devoured, and spent hours listening to their music. But the one thing I always appreciated was Michael Stipe and his lyricism, because he was always willing to tackle tough issues, and he did that repeatedly. Some songs were reflective, some were emotive, but sometimes and frequently, I think he dealt with weightier issues. He dealt with philosophical questions and sometimes even direct political challenge to the status quo, which is his song Exhuming McCarthy, where he talks about essentially all of this activity just to move someone else along, sharpening stones, walking on coals, all to improve your business acumen, basically, are the lyrics, if I remotely recall. And, you know, it's all about self-serving public servants. It's all about those who would just put themselves in a position of leadership in order to racketeer themselves on further. And the song is called Exhuming McCarthy, drawing parallels to this, you know, let's discredit everyone else in order to improve ourselves. And it just, You know, I mean, I hate to be that guy, and I know there's a, I'm not the only guy, but I think there's odd echoes. There's odd echoes right now. And the one thing that we have got to be as people of faith is we got to be focused on standing up for those who are less fortunate. You know, when I'm hearing of deportations and families separated, that's disturbing. And the question I have is, are there enough Americans who are flexible enough to work from anywhere, right? I mean, there's a number of us who work these days in ages without an office necessarily. We don't have to go to work. We work from home, or we do our thing wherever we happen to be. As long as we have an internet connection, that's all that matters. We can make phone calls. We can make Skype calls and send email and messages, and we're in pretty good shape. We could do that from anywhere. How many of us would say, I'll go to Mexico? This person's not going to have the opportunity that I already have. You know what? If I could rent an apartment and have an internet connection, I'm pretty good. I'm okay. You want to send me to Mexico instead? My family will pack up tomorrow. We'll go on down, right? I mean, would we do that? I think it's a question worth asking. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back. Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, Catholic things. We do that 50 minutes every afternoon. Posted this over my Facebook page and talked a little bit about this last week, but hate crime is pretty much what we seem to be looking at here with this situation in Kansas, where the two engineers were shot, one of them murdered. Two engineers from India, after what apparently was an altercation in a bar, they stepped outside to the patio, informed the manager. The manager apparently had the gentleman removed, and then he came back with his gun and decided to shoot these two. Good Samaritan, apparently in the middle of things trying to stop the guy, was shot and injured as well. But just a... It's tragic whenever we see anything of this nature happen. I don't care if it's a single murder or a mass shooting situation where, first off, it's senseless, no question, right? It wasn't like this was an altercation that needed to escalate to this point. None do, right? There's never a time when that would be the case. But the fact that this was essentially a guy just trying to start something, right? Just trying to start something because he saw these guys who looked foreign and decided to give them a hard way to go. I had a guy just over the weekend, because I'm an interesting looking guy. I realize that. I've always been. I'm even more so now that I've grown an outrageous mustache and beard. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with looking different. There was a time when I had hair halfway down my shoulders, down my back. I was a long-haired guy with a huge goatee. I'm always fine to look a little different. It doesn't bother me. And I know that's not that I'm trying to get attention. I'm kind of eccentric. I get it. But it's always kind of, people have commented on the way I look. I'm used to that, like made comments on goatees that I've had in the past because I've grown some pretty outrageous ones. And again, whatever. And I had a guy in a bar over the weekend while I was at an alumni event at my university, pull me aside, said, "Hey, I like the way you look." And I don't know, it was very bizarre. But then he proceeded to ask me if I was a libtard. This is what he asked. "You a libtard? Or are you a Trump supporter?" right? And I kind of knew where this was going because it, I get that I don't look like a conservative, if you will. I have more of a professorial sort of look, and there are those who might think that I'm up to something, I guess, because of the way I look. But I certainly was firm with the guy and said, and he was huge. I mean, he could have pummeled me, and I'm not a small guy, but this guy was massive. And I said, no, bro, as I called him. No, bro, I'm an independent, man. I all is good. Well, let me buy you a drink. So it was just a bizarre dynamic. And I thought, well, you know, what if I would have been literally a liberal? What if I would have told him that? Would that have changed that dynamic? Would I have been dragged out of the bar and perhaps physical violence levied upon me because of my political leanings? Is that where we are? And that really the thought crossed my mind as I was thinking about this situation that had happened. And I'm like, where are we? Where are we in our world that something of that nature, this nature, could occur where someone innocently out having a good time, unwinding after work, whatever, has to worry about something of this nature? Tragic. It's tragic. And I think that some way, somehow, we got to start seeing a different picture. We've got to start seeing a different picture. Speaking of a different picture, we're seeing some interesting backlash to medicinal marijuana laws and recreational marijuana laws in certain states. Now that there is at least one doctor's group warning about the effects of pot use for teens and kids especially, but saying to stay away from this. And yeah, I think that this one of those areas of ethics that often comes up. What is right? What is not in this dynamic? Because yes, as Catholics, we drink alcohol. We know that all of us generally know our limit to where we kind of have the threshold point at which beyond that we would potentially be tipsy and or intoxicated. We're not going to push ourselves into that area. At least we should be temperate, right? Should know what that level is. We should be temperate. We should use virtue and say, I know that I can have two drinks and I can't do any more. Some with higher tolerance might be able to do more. Some with less tolerance may be able to do much less, but they know that there's a limit at which they cannot cross. That's something that we have to consider. Now, marijuana, regardless of long-term health effects, which is what this story is really about, for me, it comes down to what is the virtue? Can you, with prudence, be temperate with marijuana usage? I contend no, right? I have experienced enough marijuana highs in my young life to know that I don't recall just being a little bit stoned. There were times where I was really, really, really stoned. There were times where I was out of touch with reality because I had slipped into some sort of psychosis from being stoned. That happened. And I couldn't tell you whether it was going to be one hit or an entire joint or more, whatever, to get to that level. You'd never knew. It was unpredictable. And now they're saying that the marijuana now is even stronger than it used to be. Well, they used to say that 30 years ago, but the marijuana is stronger than it used to be. Is it just getting stronger and stronger? Is it getting more and more dangerous? Because if you're potentially out of control, and we hear these stories all the time where kids do crazy stuff. They jump out of windows or they cut their parts off of their bodies. I mean, crazy stuff happens because they just have marijuana for the first time. It is a psychoactive drug. It's not alcohol. It's not something that slowly builds into your system and you kind of know and you can gauge. And if you're wise enough, you can say, wait a minute. And believe me, I know not everybody is wise enough. And I know that there are those who go too far. There are those who go too far and they see strangers in bars and they say, hey, I like the way you look. You know, that happens. but there's something about the ability to temper yourself that is completely acceptable when it comes to alcohol that I believe, I personally believe, and I don't know that the church necessarily has ruled on this, but I think that it cannot be there when it comes to marijuana. It simply cannot be. It's just, you can't be a little bit high. It's not going to work out. So regardless of cautions, I think we should heed those cautions when it comes to what could potentially be out there for kids. There's a whole lot more to think about when it comes to our potential challenges if we were to use this. So techtimes.com posted this over my Facebook page. There's a bizarre story coming out of Harvard University where apparently researchers had created metallic hydrogen, which this was considered the holy grail of high-pressure physics. This hydrogen that was able to conduct electricity and all of the things that go with this creation, now missing from the lab. Now, apparently, it could have just dissipated back into hydrogen gas and it's gone. It could have been stolen. Who knows? But what's interesting is that there are those essentially challenging Harvard now to say, well, you did it once, you could do it again. If you created it, just recreate it. So if you're going to report that you did something, I guess this is the lesson. This is what I'm getting. There was a moral. There's a moral to what I'm trying to present here, as always, that if you're going to tout something so extraordinary, or even so ordinary, if you tout something ordinary, be able to back it up. This reminds me, as crazy as it is, of the Franklin, right? The Franklin the Turtle. My oldest, who's 9, when he was younger, he got this book, and now we read it to our 4-year-old. It's these Franklin stories, and Franklin always has misadventures and then morals to the story. But Franklin, in competing with his friends, says that he can eat 99 flies in one bite or something of this nature. And they're like, really? Okay, well, show us you can do that. And he snaps at a few flies and that and they're like, that's not 99. Right? So he eventually ends up catching flies and baking them into this pie and tries to say, okay, well, now I can do it this way. And they're like, okay, well, maybe you back this up, but it's really not what you said you could do. So, you know, that is how this story plays out, that don't make some ridiculously false claim that you can't back up. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that that's what happened here, although there are those, I think, who are speculating that that could have happened. But if you've presented something as, hey, we've discovered this, well, don't do it just once and be done, right? Do it again and again and again and go, okay, we got it proven now. This is going to work. We know how to do it. We can do it again. Yeah, give me 5 minutes. I'll do it again, okay? Sure, not a problem. We'll knock this one out. But I think even if this is all legit and it disappeared or it dissipated or whatever, and they can do it again, the moral remains, right? Be able to back up what you say and reproduce your results. That's very important. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.